So the organ doesn't talk back. Betty's going to, my lovely assistant, Mrs. Deathmers, is going to stay at the piano. Sing, oh, you're wondering, aren't you? Well, you'll find out. Make sure your hymnals are close at hand. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. So the psalmist bids us, sing we now of Christmas. The Christmas story has been sung again and again. In our singing, we make good on that ancient observation that the law of prayer is the law of belief. In other words, show me how you worship, and I'll tell you what you believe. The songs of Christmas carry the story and teach Christian doctrine sometimes, I would go so far to say oftentimes, far better than any preacher or teacher could do. Augustine said that he who sings prays twice. So today we will learn together and we will pray twice as we sing of Christmas. Carols emerged from secular use and were originally dance tunes. There were carols for every season of the year, but the ones for Christmas over time have become most prominent. Carols have ancient roots, but began their rise to popularity in the 13th century. Francis of Assisi, Il Poverello, the little poor one, introduced the custom of the creche, the nativity scene, made up originally of living people, in order to teach the people the wonder of the incarnation, the teaching of God's taking flesh in Jesus. Soon, carols, which the people could sing because they were in their native languages and not in church Latin, became part of the custom. Although there are carols called macaronic carols, which have little bits of chant or little bits of church Latin put into them. One of the songs that the choir sang for lessons and carols was a macaronic carol. The 19th century recovery of Christmas, spurred largely by Charles Dickens and others, brought the carol back to prominence. Because the truth of the matter is, and we Congregationalists have to own this, if our forebears had won, there would have been no Christmas. Christmas keeping was liable to fine or imprisonment in Puritan New England. You didn't want to make too merry, especially on the Lord's Day. But thank God we got over that. And we keep Christmas now. So sing we now of Christmas. Sing we Noel. And by the way, Noel simply means Christmas. It comes to us from the old French rendering of the Latin, Die Natalis, day of birth. Now, carols not only tell the story, they teach as Francis tried to do. Some English carols were called mystical because of their rich legendary lore. Many, of course, lacked the reverence, but were festive and they were enjoyed by most. Now, in one such carol, the singer pretends to be Christ on the eve of his marriage to the church. And some folks think that it was written specifically against the Puritans who banned dancing at certain periods of time. And it's called Tomorrow Shall Be My Dancing Day. Now, Betty, in her wondrous musical ability, didn't have this music with her, but she managed to remember the tune. So she's going to play it for you, and then I'll read you the words. You hear the dance rhythm in there? Tomorrow shall be my dancing day. I would my true love, so did chance, to see the legend of my play, to call my true love to my dance. And then there's a chorus, oh, my love, my love. Then I was born of a virgin pure. Of her I took fleshly substance. Thus was I knit to man's nature, to call my true love to my dance. In a manger laid and wrapped I was, so very poor. This was my chance, between an ox and a silly poor ass, to call my true love to my dance. Then afterwards baptized I was, the Holy Ghost on me did glance, my Father's voice heard from above, to call my true love to my dance. Now there you see the essence of the teaching on the incarnation, the enfleshment of God, which happened so that we could enter into the dance of life with God, which is another way of talking about the Trinity. One of the ancient ways to describe the Trinity is to use the term perichoresis, which is also a description of a line dance that the Greeks still do. The Latin word circumintercessio is the other phrase for it. And it's just all this weaving around, which is the idea of the community that exists in God. That carol reflects that. Now, other hymns and carols try to do the same thing. Take your hymnal, please. Turn to number 111. This is a very ancient carol. This was written by a fellow by the name of Prudentius in the 4th century. And it fits very nicely what we heard in the reading from John's Gospel this morning. See how Jesus is described as the source and the ending. Now, together, let's sing verse 1 of number 111.
Of the Father's love begotten, ere the world began to be, He is Alpha and Omega, He the source and ending be. Of the things that are that have been, and that future years shall see, evermore and evermore.
Now you'll notice that's plain song, that's Gregorian chant, and it's arsis and thesis. You'll notice there's not a time signature. It rolls, and it just kind of picks up the words, and chant is supposed to do that. The emphasis is not on the music, but on the words. And remind me sometime to tell you about something that happened once with my two stepsons, who got a recording of someone doing a thing on fake Gregorian chant when that was very popular, the chant thing. Well, I'll just go ahead and tell you anyway, it's Christmas. I called them once when they were living in Madison, and their answering machine said, "Hey, hey, we're the monks, da-da-da-da," and they had this thing singing in the background. It was a parody, and then they came on, you know, you've reached the cells of Jeremy and Matthew, please leave a message, and so forth. Well, you know me, so I said, "Hello, boys, this is your stepfather. I had 5 years of Gregorian chant. I know how to sing the phone book if I want to. Please call your mother soon or else there'll be no money. Amen. Alleluia." And they... Next time I called, the message was changed. Who knew? Anyway, but you'll see how you can sing anything if you know how to do this. It just goes, all right? Now, let's turn to page 132 to another wonderful Latin hymn, Adeste Fideles, O Come All Ye Faithful, which was translated by Frederick Oakley, and it first appeared in this form in 1852. Now, note especially the third and the fourth verses. Here again, salvation, and that's the point of the incarnation, is put into song. Let's sing those two verses, the third and fourth verses of O Come, All Ye Faithful.
Child for us sinners, poor and in the manger, we would embrace thee with love and awe. Who would not love thee, loving us so dearly? O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. Cross.
Also tell the story from various perspectives. We saw how one carol gave us Jesus' perspective as he came for his dancing day. At the outset of the service, we sang Angels We Have Heard on High, and then those angels show up again and again. And if we look at number 117, the angels are called, and then shepherds, and then sages, and then saints. It kind of, the whole song kind of layers you through. And they are called to come and worship Christ, the newborn king. These words were penned in 1816 and then set to music 51 years later, so that we can see that carol composition was going on even in the 19th century, and indeed it continues into the 20th century and, please God, into the 21st. We'll sing just verse 1 about the angels from the realms of glory to that glorious tune, Regent Square.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
Now, angels also figure prominently, as does an attempt to explain how salvation comes through the newborn King, in Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Charles Wesley, who wrote hundreds, if not thousands, of hymns, originally began this with the words, "Hark how all the welkin rings, glory to the King of Kings." Now, over the years, it kind of changed, and again, we hear the angels offering their praise. The second verse also reflects on how God works our salvation through Jesus. As mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Let's look at the third verse and sing the third verse of Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Hark the herald, poor prince of peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, written with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth.
Now, the shepherds get in on the act on more than one carol, but while shepherds watch their flocks, turn over to page 146, number 146, all of the carols on the radio will stop at midnight tonight, so I wanted to give you a really good dose. This is particularly fine. It's sung to a very old English hymn tune, and like so many carols, it lays out the story from the scripture. We'll just sing verses 1 and 6 about the shepherds, and then All Glory Be to God on High. And this is from a very old English hymn tune called Winchester.
While shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around. All glory begin and never cease.
The star and the kings get in the act too. We all know We Three Kings. But there are pieces that we rarely sing but are really quite beautiful, like number 145, O Morning Star, How Fair and Bright. The star that it refers to is really Christ, the Oriens, the star or dawning light that comes and that will overcome humanity's darkness. I wouldn't do this most days, but let's give it a try. Just go with the flow of the music and pretend that you're a 17th century German and just get into it. The old French carol, Bring a Torch, Jeannette, Isabella, is number 124. And it gives us the story also from the perspective of the people who might have been there. I want us just to sing the second verse. And notice the perspective of the second verse.
The child is sleeping. It is wrong to talk so loud. Silence all as you gather around, lest your voice should waken Jesus. Hush, hush, see how fast he slumbers. Hush, hush, see how fast he sleeps.
Because we were there and because we were hushed, then all of a sudden we can go to the opposite page. Because we were there on that day, as we were in that carol, then we can rejoice. And we can do what this hymn calls us to do, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. And notice the third verse. It says what? Now ye need not fear the grave. That is one of the messages of the Incarnation. God takes on our life so that our life might be transformed. We'll sing that third verse of Good Christian Men.
Good Christian men, rejoice in heart. and soul have gone. Now ye need not fear the grave. Jesus Christ was born to say, calls you one and calls you all to gain his everlasting call. Christ was born to say, Christ is born to say.
What we just sang is what the writer to the Hebrews told us, that in many and various ways in distant times, God spoke through the prophets, but now he has spoken through his Son. God still speaks to us if we open the ears of our hearts to listen, and if we open our mouths to sing out our praise of the God who longs to know and love us and have us know and love God. Finally, there are carols which come from our perspective. Christina Rossetti's In the Bleak Midwinter is a gorgeous piece, and I'd ask you to read it at some point. It's number 128. That reminds us all that God asks of us is our hearts. But the carol that perhaps says it best of all is O Little Town of Bethlehem. This was written by Phillips Brooks, and who wrote this after being in Bethlehem on a visit to the Holy Land. But it's the final verse that brings the point home. So let's now sing the final verse of 134, O Little Town of Bethlehem, and sing we now of Christmas, sing we now Noel. Now let us open our hearts and our minds in prayer and again invite the Lord to abide with us. Our prayer is offered responsively. O God, we thank you for the message of love that Christmas brings to a world where hatred and violence is experienced by so many people in so many places. Help us to reveal in our lives the love that Jesus so embodied, the love that Paul wrote about so eloquently.
The love that is patient and kind, the love that is never envious or boastful, or ever disapproved, the love that does not exist by its own way, and is not fearful or resentful, and in all things he made but love first.
O God, we thank you for the message of joy that Christmas brings to a world grown used to suffering.
We remember also those for whom this season is clouded by loneliness or anxiety or bereavement, and we pause to remember them. We pray that they may be kept from bitterness and despair as they remember the birth of him who bore our grief and carried our sorrows, yet who was born at Bethlehem, that people might experience life in all its fullness.
O God, we thank you for the message of kindness that Christmas brings to a world grown self-centered and cynical through greed.
May we all find true joy and fulfillment in giving ourselves in service to others, as we remember together the birth of him who came to give himself to us. O God, we thank you for the message of peace that Christmas brings to our troubled world. Give peace among nations, peace in lands torn apart by warring factions, peace in our homes and in our hearts, as we remember the birth at Bethlehem of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.